On Friday afternoon, I was having a day of holiday with my brother, who was up from Invercargill, and we'd just come home from lunch when the news of the horrendous events in Christchurch began to filter through. First of all, news of shots being fired, then speculation about the dead and the injured. Our daughter Rebecca, who had just moved to Christchurch a few weeks earlier, we heard that the place that she worked in, like so many others, was in lockdown. And because New Zealand is such a small country, many of you may have friends and family, people who you know in Christchurch, or some affected directly by these tragic events. The deeply sad and heartbreaking news is that 49 people have been killed and over 40 have been injured, and even little children have been shot. Days ago, this would have been unimaginable. Today, it is the harsh reality that we face in our nation. I heard a comment repeated by different people on the news, and I'm sure some of you will have heard this as well. People have said, this is not who we are. This is not who we are. And I understand what is meant when people say this is not who we are. The actions of terrorists are not representative of the values that we hold or what we aspire to be as a nation. But who are we really? Who do we think we are? What is our identity as a nation? Our identity as a people? Are we in some way in self-denial and deluding ourselves about our identity? Do we idealize our national identity and deceive ourselves about who we truly are? We say, this is not who we are. But perhaps it is. Perhaps it is who we are. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying our nation is full of bad and evil people like this terrorist. But search your heart. Have we used words that harm? Have we harbored racist attitudes or repeated hateful slogans or forwarded derogatory remarks on social media? Have we in some way even given tentative support to extremists by looking at their websites, or by in some small part agreeing with some of their views? In our smoker-room conversations, or when we are out having coffee with friends, have we made racist comments or slurs on other religious groups? Have we expressed views, perhaps on social media, agreeing with biased, prejudicial statements based on race or religion or gender? Who are we really when we scratch the surface of our nation and look below? God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Studies which followed the Holocaust revealed that many of those who committed atrocities were ordinary people. They were not particularly vicious or evil people, but people who in many respects were no different to others. Loving fathers and uncles and brothers, who in unusual circumstances did unconscionable things. Clay Jones has written, "Humans have an amazing capacity for evil. Families and neighbours of people who commit these atrocious crimes often say with disbelief, 'But he was such a nice guy. He seemed like such a normal person. We chatted over the fence.'" I heard a person who had worked with the Christchurch gunman, you may have seen her interview on television, having trouble reconciling her thoughts of the person she knew, this person that she had had close relationships with some time ago, many conversations, trying to reconcile that with the person who had committed these terrible crimes. And she was struggling to process her thoughts and how, in her understanding, he could be capable of such violence. Why does it surprise us that people who seem to be normal men and women, have this amazing capacity for evil? We see this capacity for evil manifest on a global scale with atrocities of war beyond our imagining. But we also glimpse it on the playgrounds of our schools, in bullying and name-calling. It's a part of who we are, part of what humans are capable of. And if we will not admit this about humanity, how can we truly begin to deal with it? Our Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has called Friday one of New Zealand's darkest days. And it was a dark, dark day. The events of that day came as a shock to us, with a loss of innocence and a shattering of the image we had of our nation. As some have said, this is not only an attack against Muslims, it is an attack against all New Zealanders. I was at the theatre last night with friends, and before the play we were led in a moment of silence followed by prayer. Because this is affecting all of us and everyone all over our nation. People have been moved by this event. There have been floral tributes, prayer vigils, moments of silence at sports games, high-profile events cancelled. This shooting has sent shockwaves through our nation and indeed through our world. Friday was a day of shock and disbelief. How could it happen here? Saturday was a day of grief as we began to realize the immensity of the situation and what we have lost as a nation. And today, all through our nation, services of worship will be focused on these events with prayers for the families of the dead, the injured, and for our nation. Our Prime Minister has called this a dark day. God calls us to step out of darkness into his light. We read, as we have been reading recently, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We are called out of darkness. We are called out of darkness. We are to leave darkness behind. Out of darkness is characteristic of all who turn to God. We all come out of darkness, if indeed we do come to put our faith in Jesus. It is not that Jesus takes good people and makes them better. Rather, he brings people out of darkness and into light. He takes those who are covered with the stains of sin and washes them clean in his righteousness. and we are to live as children of the light, anchoring our identity in the light of God, not in the darkness of this world. God is light. We need to step out of darkness and into that light. And as much as we let go of God and his light, we slip back into darkness. So what difference does this make to us? Today, many of us will be feeling pain and confusion because of the events in Christchurch. Recently, I've been reading Craig Groeschel's book, Hope in the Dark. Like you, I have hardly had a moment to process these events, and I also feel moved and raw and numb when I think of these events. And perhaps with time I could find better words and a better way of expressing some of these things. But for now, I'm drawing on what Craig has said. He said, honest questions, sincere doubts, and deep hurt can draw you closer to God than you have ever been before. And many of us will have questions. Many of our family and friends will have questions. Some of these questions will be voiced in quiet sobs. Others will be shouted in anger and raised fists to God. Questions will be leveled, will be voiced at every level of our society and every home. Where was God when this happened? Why did God not stop this man? How could God have allowed so many to be killed, and even little children? This massacre will be at the fore of our thinking for months, for years, as we grieve and come to terms with it. And even in months from now, the case will come to court, and again it will touch a raw nerve in our society as details are disclosed and the horrors are again laid bare, and again all manner of questions and discussion and speculation. This is not a time for trite answers, for easy answers. It's a time for us to listen. And when and where appropriate, to speak from the heart. At a moment like this, when emotions are running high, when pain is so recent, people are not ready for deep theological debate. They don't want that. They don't want to go there. What they will listen to is when you and I speak from our hearts. So share what is on your heart and allow space for the questions people have. And let people know that you too may be having questions. And you too may have things that you're asking God. You and I know that God's heart is broken by this event and other events like this. Craig Groeschel wrote, "The worst thing only happened once. That was the death of Jesus on the cross. He took our pain. He died for us. God knows pain. God understands it more fully than any of us ever can. The broken heart of God and the broken body of his Son. And perhaps in some way, our own brokenness at this time can bring healing and hope to our broken nation and our broken world." Craig Groeschel, echoing C.S. Lewis, says, "On days like Friday, pain seems to yell, while hope only whispers. But there is hope, and the voice of hope will grow stronger. Hope in God, hope based on what Jesus has done, hope for all who will step out of darkness into the light of God. And I invite you to take this hope home with you into this week. Be honest about your own brokenness, and respect the pain and the brokenness of others. Speak from your heart to the hearts of others if that's appropriate to do. Allow hope in Christ to sustain you. Share this hope with others. Allow this hope to light the path so that our community and nation may find their way out of darkness and into the light of God.